Everybody ready? Let's stand up. We're going to sing some Christmas music, and then I'm going to talk about the parade. I won't keep you long tonight. I always say that. Actually, if we start church at 10:30, then you got a good 30 minutes of praise and worship, and there's an hour in there that the message can come forth, and you might could get out before 12 o'clock. You know, instead of full message without rushing, and you can and worship without rushing, everything can be slowed down, and that's where the new people coming in at is on it to make sense. You know, all right, here we go. Silent Night. Let's sing Silent Night together. Ready? No, I was playing Silent Night. I was being silent. I'm sorry. It was just too fun to play with that one. Okay, go ahead and start it. Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Hey, me and there were some kids in their neighborhood. They were trying to make their own nativity scene, so they had a nativity scene outside the church, and there was just little redhead, kind of chubby, sitting in the corner of the manger scene. They said, "We know the shepherds and we know the wise men." And he said, "Well, what? Who's that?" And he said, "This round John Virgin." Okay, joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven in nature sing, and heaven in nature sing, and heaven in nature sing. All right, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That was good. Y'all doing good. Ready to do this one. Y'all follow me because I don't want to sing the chorus. I want to sing the chorus. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord, we'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. Christ the Lord. All right. Y'all can be seated. Anybody have a special spoken prayer request you want to share with the congregation? Okay, my brother-in-law, now his brother died last week, and his wife's name, I told you the name, I can't remember now, but the last name's Hare, Jane Hare. Remember her, Jane Hare, remember her in prayer because her husband died last week, and I know she's going to need God to give her some extra grace, especially this time of year. Anybody?
And Sierra, exam week.
Okay. 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 Amen. Unspoken request. Okay. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God, and you're in control of all things. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint. Have your will and your way in this service, Lord. Help us, God, to know and to see and understand, God, you're doing something special right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Touch each and every request, Lord. God, there's some people that really need you bad to work in their lives, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to touch Jeannie's sister, Lord. And I ask you, God, to touch this chaplain, Lord. And I ask you, God, to touch this grieving wife, Lord. We know, God, that you can handle this. We trust you right now, knowing, God, that all things are in your hands and in your control. Touch all the unspoken requests, too. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. All right, Brother Wayne, can you come up here, please?
I got to tell you, thank you for the beautiful day you have to be called up here, the sunshine you sent upon today. We thank you for all your blessings, Lord. Thank you for saving us from sin, Lord. Let us look up to the life and God.
Yes.
Save our soul, Lord, and watch for all our sins. All that we ask.
Amen. Let's sing Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature. All right, give everybody a hand for that. Y'all did great. That, well, all right, how about two hands then? Because y'all sound like y'all beating one hand. There you go. That's right. We just sang the. We went pre-Baptist. We didn't even go first, second, and fourth. Yeah, I brought my acapella machine. I brought my acapella machine with me tonight.
Primitive Baptist, isn't that?
Yeah, Primitive Baptist. Church of Christ. Yeah, Church of Christ, folks. Everybody got one? Not gonna keep you too long. How about that? Not too long. What's too long? That's all in what you consider too long. All right, I'm gonna just talk to you for just a minute on some stuff, and we're gonna, of course, we don't have a great big group in here to find out. Oh, Stephanie too. Remember Stephanie? She wrote me in, and she just wrote me a text and just said migraine. So we know what that means. Because she has a lot of trouble with migraines, and I don't think I've ever actually had a migraine, but I've had some sinus headaches that I thought my head was going to explode. All right, here's what we need. Oh, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. My Aunt Ruth Lewis, she lives in Chocolaty. Her sister, my Aunt Juanita, died just a few months ago, had a stroke and died 2 days later. And that was her younger sister. And out of seven kids, they were the last two living. My grandmama was one of the first to go, but my two aunts here, Aunt Juanita and Aunt Ruth, one was 87 and one was turned 90. Well, the 87-year-old died. And now the 90-year-old, she had a 90-year birthday party just about a month ago. And we went to the party. And then she fell. And she was having a hard time keeping her balance, so they put her in the hospital. And they sent her to rehab. And they asked me to go see her in rehab. So she'd been in rehab for about 2 weeks. I got in there and couldn't believe what I was seeing. She just shrunk up so much. And so we need God to touch her too, because it looks like, you know, when her sister died, she said, my best friend's gone. And you know how that works. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's some bad stuff. Yep, that's right.
Praise the Lord for salt and money therapy. I fell twice last week to get the front jaw. And I laughed at myself and I said, I hope these folks riding by. Because it was at night one time. I said, I'm not glad anybody see this. But I was out there trying to crawl around and get to where I could get back up. Man, we. And I won't drink,
yeah, yep. Like the guy's getting out of the airplane trying to open his parachute, and his parachute won't open. And he's trying to figure out how to work this thing, and all of a sudden there's a guy coming from the earth coming up real fast. And so he asks him, says, hey, you know anything about parachutes? And the guy says, no, you know anything about pilot lights? All right. Excite us, O Lord. This is the Laodicean age. We live in it. The Bible says we're going to live in the Laodicean age in the last days. This is it. You tell by the rise of ISIS, it's the precursor to the tribulation. Christians losing their head. The Antichrist coming in on a white horse with a bow and no arrow, meaning that he's just going to be a diplomat. He's going to talk a good game. And we already know that we're already seeing that happening a lot too. So nothing being done about anything. So all that's right here. Well, and the Laodicean age is going to be known for their coldness. Well, my prayer is excite us, Lord, excite us. This is not on your outline. Excite us, O Lord, and we need to get excited about reaching the community and excited about reaching the lost. But not only excite us, ignite us, because a lot of times we're excited, but we do nothing about it. Or we can sit in church and jump up and down and get all excited, but go outside and do nothing. You know, I hear people, have you ever been to one of those services where you get so fired up, you're ready to charge hell with a water pistol? And then you go outside and you don't know where hell is or the water pistol. So, again, ignite us. Excite us and ignite us, Lord. And there's a perspective of new children being born into the kingdom of God, salvation experience. And this, the reason I believe that this parade is doing like it's doing, and God has blessed it so much, is not only because of the hard work of people behind the scenes, but I'm saying is the reason it keeps on is it's making a difference. It makes a big difference. And people see it and they understand that somebody's trying to make a difference for them. And new people are gathered into the body of believers. So here's what I've discovered over the years is the message never changes. It's always the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does not change. It never changes. But the method is prone to constant change. That's why, you know, the vehicle to deliver that message. That's why we've done changes in the praise and worship. We've done changes in the sermon deliveries. We've done changes in just about everything. And now we're going to do some changes in the service times. But that's because the message never changes, but the method does. And you try to find a method that works, because we're stewards not only of God's money, we're stewards of God's word. And we're stewards of God's ministry. And so we have to find what's the most effective and use it. We're his hands and we're his feet. God wants to use us. And if we neglect any of what I just talked about, our life becomes empty and stale. And I don't want my life empty or stale. Amen. That guy from New Mexico came here Sunday and he said that this was an awesome place, a beautiful church and awesome people. And he just was just impressed with the whole thing. He said he was so blessed and that he hadn't seen anything like this in New Mexico where he goes. And so I said, well, it's God. It's God. And he said he felt the move of God through the whole thing. That was awesome. Here's your paper, outreach. We'll go through it quickly, and then we're going to talk. All right, I'm going to read these verses to you. Outreach. I just wrote outreach, and I've done this before. Here's outreach. And I'm just going to do the acrostic, outreach. And I heard about a school that was not allowing Christ in their winter celebration. So all the kids are up, and they're doing C-H, Christmas, and it was spelled Christmas love. And so they put Christmas love. And as they were doing their, what the C stands for and what the H and all that, then when they got to the M for Christmas, the little girl held it up upside down, W. Everybody's laughing because they think she's got her sign upside down. So there's Christmas, then W, and then the rest, A-S, and love. But when they finally turned over the last letter, E, everybody gasped because what she had actually spelt was not, the M was not upside, I mean, the M was on purpose upside down, because think about it now, Christ was love. Now that's awesome. Christ was love. That's an awesome thing. So we're to reach out. We can stay here all we want to, and we can be protected, we can be safe, but you know what? A ship may be safe at harbor, but that's not what it was designed for. It was designed to take those tough seas. You know, I remember at Fountain sometimes they were sending some of these boats, and I can't think of his name now, Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman sent, he was one of the first guys I worked on his boat when I was doing corrective action, and his boat was torn to pieces on the inside. And I said, why is it torn to pieces? He said, you advertised it would go 150, and it did. He said, and Mr. Fountain said, yeah, I didn't say go 150 in the Pacific Ocean. And so he had tore his boat all up on the inside. Well, listen, we cannot be safe. I mean, we can stand here and be safe, or we can go outside and make a difference. And we have a choice with the church. The church can be a morgue. That's if we stay inside. It's going to be a morgue. What's the characteristic of a morgue? Number one, death. Number two, no action. And number three, you're always looking at the past. And we're trying to find out reasons why it's like it is. Or it can be a maternity ward going out. And a maternity ward is always fresh, but you always know it's going to be a little noisy and maybe a little stinky. But that's okay because you're looking ahead. I want our church to be a maternity ward, not a morgue. We are not a museum, to show all of our saintlyhood. We are a hospital for hurting people. All right? So first, out. Then the next word, R, respond to the Great Commission. And here it is, Matthew 28:16-20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had told them, where he told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. What does all authority mean? There's none left. That's right, all. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That's the Great Commission. And I am concerned in this last day that we are not having a Great Commission. We're having a great omission. We're not showing it to the people. We're not telling the people. We're not explaining. We're not trying to bring them in. So we've got to respond to the Great Commission. Then E, everybody's responsible. Everybody. Somebody say everybody. Everybody say, yeah. Everybody's responsible. That's right. That's right. All of his gifts, Ephesians 4:11-12 says, all of his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us and some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, and some pastors, shepherds of the flock, and teachers. His intention was for the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. So we're all responsible. We all have a part to play. And you'll find out in your own life, even though you may not have that direct calling where that's all you do, you'll find out, I have discovered, that everybody has a little bit of some or all of these in them. Okay? Everybody. It's kind of like the personality types. I told you there's four personality types, and everybody's got all four. but usually two will rise to the top. Sometimes only one, but mainly two. So that's a good thing. A, action is required. You can't sit on the pews. You got to go out where they're at. You can't put out a free worm sign outside and consider it fishing for men. You got to go out and get them. Luke 14:23, the NLT says, so his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. You know, I have discovered over the years a lot of times people are afraid to do this because they're afraid of what we're going to get. And I told you the story. I was pastoring in another area, not this area. I was pastoring in another area, and a pastor from another denomination called me and said, I'm sending you some people on Sunday. He said, they came to my church last week, and I'm sending them to you because they're your kind of people. We can't use them here. And I said, what kind of people is he saying? What in the world is he talking about? And Sunday they came in, and I literally took the little boy back in the back and washed his face. And I saw what he was talking about. These people here wanted to be in church, but they had no training whatsoever, and they had no training in anything. And I brought them in, welcomed them in, took them on in. The following week, they came in my house, and I welcomed them in my house. And right here in my house, they got really crazy and run and knocked my whole storm door out. I mean, it was just some, but you know what? They came in, and we loved them. And we worked with him, and God did something great. And all I can think about now when I see that guy, which I haven't seen him in a long time, when I see him, no matter what he does or says to me, all I can remember is him saying, they're not our kind of people. We can't use them. You think Christ would say that? No, never in a million years. So when you get people in here, sometimes they might not be the most gracious. It might even be rude and crude, but you might remember that Peter and James and John were rude and crude, and James and John were so rude and crude that Jesus surnamed them the Sons of Thunder. Okay? So, but at the end of John's life, he was known as the Apostle of Love. So watch what God can do with people. Yeah, he'll cut somebody's ear off in a heartbeat. Yeah, gentlemen, if you're going to lend me your ear. Okay, C, common ground. You can't catch fish with squirrel traps. First Corinthians 9:19-23 says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I am become a Jew, so that I may gain the Jews, so that them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them are under the law, to them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I may gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak. That is a whole big mouthful. That is a tongue twister and a half. Let me just do it a little bit different here. All right. For although I am free in every way from everyone's control, I have made myself a bondservant to everyone so that I may gain the more for Christ. To the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To men under the law, I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those without or outside the law, I became as one without law, not that I am without the law of God and lawless toward him, but that I am especially keeping within and committed to the law of Christ, that I may win those who are without the law. To the weak, wanting in discernment, I have become weak, wanting in discernment, that I might win the weak and over-scrupulous. I have in short become all things to all men, that I might by all means, at all costs, in any and every way, save some by winning them to faith in Christ Jesus. I do this for the sake of the good news, the gospel, in order that I may become a participator in and share in its blessings along with you. We got to find common ground. And one of the greatest common grounds I can think of is a parade. If we're going to do something in this community, that sparks people. They get excited over that parade. And then number six, H, help. Expect God Expect God to send His Spirit to help us. Luke 24:48-49 says, "And ye are the witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Now, I've got some stuff here. Now, first I want to ask, is there any questions or comments on what I just talked about outreach and about Ignite Us, O Lord? Is there any questions or comments on Ignite Us, O Lord? Or outreach? Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's called Lord Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
And every Christian should know that she's a minister of life.
Bless her heart.
About 30 years ago, and I have been through that book 3 or 4 times. I did it when I was going to be in the home show. Actually, at that point, me and my husband had to be in the home show. I mean, it was just amazing. She mainly does it mainly with hostages with women. But it's when you go to problems of life, we have sickness, death, marriage, children, whatever the problem might be, finances. She goes through a study on this. And I have not just the book, but I have that outline that goes through. Where you don't become involved in the problem of the other person's problem, or the truth of what you and they want to change things, but that you will pray and ask the Lord to change you. And she gives you workouts and ways of doing it. One of the things she does, the main thing she does, is that she has you to read in a certain part of the Bible, and she tells you, read until the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and then don't read any part. And then ask him, what is he trying to tell you? That book has been big help. And here's a sort of this little walk that I picked it back up. Sorry, I'm going to only got to about 3 chapters now because it takes time to really pray and work for them. And I'm not going to do
that. What was the name of that book again?
Lord Change Me by Evelyn Christensen. And it is a very, if you let it work on you and let the woman work on you and let it ask you what she's asking you to do. Very life-changing situation. And I'm asked to talk to Pastor about it. Trying to get the weeks together to do about it. So I do it on the same this time. But I found that it helped me be more concentrated. It helped. I mean, you don't discuss the problems that you have, but you discuss how the Lord changed you. I found out that working with people helps me to stay more focused on doing what the book is saying and getting me involved in it. You know, we all, if you go to do exercise, you're going to stop, you're going to maybe skip a few times because you don't have anybody to do it. But if you have somebody do it, you'll be more comfortable. Make sure you're there to do it. Because if you have somebody do it.
And an accountability partner.
So, yeah, to me, this is something I've been talking about that I was doing it for my safety. I thought, as I started to get into it, and I'm not saying I bought so many of these books because I gave them away to other people. It's like going on a mail clock and the change the working behind the scenes, maybe. I mean, the spiritual experience I had working behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah. That's much better.
This is a process of changing you and realizing you can't change the others, but you can change your own ways of thinking.
That's right. And something else I've been dealing and thinking about and praying, the Lord's been working with me about it with counseling, is to start telling people to, like in marriages or with church or with relationships or with whatever, your job, is we find ourselves constantly in situations where we might actually be fighting each other. And the Lord's been showing me lately, instead of fighting in my marriage or fighting on my job or fighting in my church or fighting with my family, start fighting for my family and fighting for my church and fighting for my job and fighting for my relationships. And when you start fighting for them, then all of a sudden you cast a different shadow. When you're fighting, then human nature is, let's find blame, let's find problems and attack it. When you're fighting for it, then now you're assuming responsibility. Not only you're assuming responsibility, but now when you see things, now you find a way to not blow it up, but fix it. So if you find yourself in a tight with somebody, instead of fighting the whatever you're in that you're having a problem with, fight for it, and you'll find a whole different way. You'll approach it different. And when you approach it that way, you see things different. And now you're not a victim. You're a victor. And you're going in. You're not weak. You're strong. And you're going in. Instead of feeling like I'm running in and going to be torn to pieces. Now I'm going in because I'm fighting for it. And it makes a difference. All right. Parade stuff. There were some things that on this list that, of course, we've got all this taken care of. The Grand Marshal. Permission to cross the road, sheriff's office, the highway patrol, the Aurora Fire Department. Still trying to get a hold of all the news corporations and all that. We got Orange Vest, we got a Santa and Mrs. Claus, and we have a thank you letter. This year we're going to do something a little different. We got a thank you letter to give everybody, and we're going to try to have a participation certificate, but also when Santa, before you go in, last year we just took numbers for youngest to bring up, and we got their number and then let them sit in Santa's lap. People took pictures and they got a stuffed animal free. Well, this time we're going to register them. And this is an awesome idea. We're going to register them. And then, during the year, if we had their birthday, we're going to send something to them on their birthday and we're going to send quarterly reminders to them that we have in Children's Church. And of course, we're getting ready to really beef up Children's Church, really beef it up. If we're going to go to one service on Sunday, we want to beef up that Sunday morning service, really beef it up, and beef up that Children's Church when it's really something special. So it's going to be, I would consider it, Sunday school and Children's Church on steroids. Something good. And we've got a big TV we're going to put back there, and we may be getting this material that is some of the most awesome stuff in the nation right now that we can even, because kids will sit back and they'll watch TV and they'll watch cartoons and they'll watch this stuff and puppets and all this stuff. And so it's right there. So everybody, no matter what education level of the people teaching it or whatever training level they've got on it, if they can go in there with that program, then they can be led with that program, and the children are getting the same quality every Sunday. And it's awesome stuff. So that's good. Also, we're trying to make sure we got all our entries. I reckon how many entries have we got so far? 50 entries. Wow, that's awesome. That is so, so awesome. We still need candy, and we still need some cookies. Cookies for over there, candy to throw out. We still need somebody to help us walk. We've got the orange vest. So if you're going to walk, we got orange vest for you, so you don't have to walk out. And I mean, people will know that you're working with the parade. We're instead of carrying the banner this year, I've got a call in to H&H Golf Cart Service, and we're going to see if H&H Golf Cart Service will actually put the sign on their golf cart and then go through the parade and give them advertisement too. H&H Golf Cart Service, and they're taking the sign and going with it because it's walk people to death every year because it's a 2.5 mile walk. And they're scheduled to be here. They just didn't call me back today, but we're going to, I know Kelvin will do it. And we still need people to, on Sunday, we're going to need people to help decorate. We're still not sure all the floats yet. We're still trying to get it right. The way it looks right now, we're going to have two trucks. One truck is going to be Jimmy Ruffin, and the other one's going to be Randy Hall that sits back here, one of the sound men. And they both have pretty decent sized trucks, and so we're going to probably just let them be our floats. It might be a lot easier that way. So Dudley is going to be on one of them, dressed as Santa Claus. I don't know which one he's going to be on, but he's going to be on one of them. And then we have children, and we have the manger scene on another one. So the manger scene and Dudley, and then we'll have kids all in, wherever they want to be. And we have Mrs. Santa, and she's got her costume this year. Jeannie and Don are awesome. I sort of say seamstress, but he's not a seamstress. He's a seamster. Oh, Taylor. Okay, you're a Taylor. Okay, that's right. It makes more sense now. Taylor. Linda's Mrs. Santa. And so we've had a tailor and a seamstress fix her uniform too. So she's got something. Because it don't work. Okay. Yep. Kelvin's really good. Kelvin can fix it. Kelvin is the guy that owns H&H Golf Cart Service. Yeah, he can fix it. Right. Well, I used to work on them when I was at Procter & Gamble, so I've been a long time since I worked on them, but I used to go work on them too. I remember one time the guard was on the one inside the building at Procter & Gamble. It took off. When he took off, it got stuck, and he ran up against the wall, and that thing's still spinning. And the guy with me didn't say, David, can you go stop this thing? He went in and took cutting pliers and started cutting until it stopped. And then he couldn't put it back together again. Humpty Dumpty couldn't put it back together again. So my boss man said, David, I hate to ask. He said, I don't know how this guy, he was in such a hurry, he was ripping wires out. They weren't just cutting, he was ripping wires. And so I had to figure out where everything went so he could get that golf cart running again. All right, here we go. We need people to help decorate the two trucks. And we'll come up with some kind of design for both trucks, but we're just hanging garland and maybe putting some signs on the side. And we need people to help get the kids in their costumes. Some of the kids are going to be like angels. If kids want to be an angel or they want to be in biblical costumes, we'll put them in biblical costumes, especially around the manger scene. All the kids that want to be in the manger scene, we'll give them biblical clothes to wear. And so Santa Claus is going to have elf costumes, and the manger scene is going to have biblical costumes. And we need some people to ride with the kids, okay? Because you don't want these kids to get up there and get excited and jump off or fall off. You just don't want that. The funniest float I ever saw was we were at, DC had been in the marching band all these years. In his senior year, in the last of the second semester, he decided he wanted to be in marching band anymore. And so Daniel's marching. I'm standing there watching when Daniel comes marching through with the band. And then comes this all-girl club. All-girls club. Coming through with their great little big float, and they're all wearing their yellow shirts or whatever it is. And I happened to look up and said, I saw a tall, tall, yellow-headed person on that float. And I said, that's got to be the tallest girl I've ever seen. And when he got closer, and he just dyed his hair. And when he got closer, I noticed that weren't a girl. That was D.C. And he's riding on this float with all these girls, and he's waving at everybody. Yeah, he was dressed. He would know he was dressed in that and all the clothes. I mean, the jeans and the coat, the shirt they were wearing. And so when he got right where I was at, he jumped up, took his shirt off because he had his shirt underneath it. Took his shirt off, said, "Hey, Dad," and jumped off. Yeah. Well, that's not good. Well, these. Okay, we need somebody to ride the floats with the children. If you're going to ride floats with the children, please don't jump off. Okay, we got someone to cook the popcorn. We got 5 pounds of popcorn. That ought to last. And we need someone to help clean the fellowship hall after. Now, I know that there's only a handful of us here, but what we can do is, I reckon, Jeannie, can you make some copies of this, and I can hand one to everybody, and then y'all can go out and recruit. If y'all want to, y'all go out and recruit some this week. And if you recruit somebody and they definitely say they'll do it, call the office and tell Jeannie so Jeannie can write down who you got, who you recruited. Okay? Don't voluntold them. Recruit them. Because you voluntold them, they might not be here. So she's going to go make some more. How many people we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Maybe put 10 copies. We'll put some more out there in case somebody happens to come in. But 10 copies of the volunteers still needed, and we'll pass them around. If you can get a hold of somebody this week and they'll say they will do it, please do not hesitate to call Jeannie and tell her so she can write it down. I remember what you're saying. I don't remember which year it was, but I do remember y'all were having a hard time. And so if trucks have a rail around it, well, if you have a rail around the truck, a rail, you can tie it to the rail, and tape will stick to the. If you've got a truck without a rail on it, it is hard to get it to stick. So, yeah, we don't want to mess up somebody's truck. We can do. A packing tape will, yeah. Oh, yeah. Packing tape will make it stick. You got clear. Some of that packing tape is clear, and some of it has fibers in it. No, because the fiber's going to. We do? Okay, good. We need packing tape on Sunday. And Sunday, this is just a thought, but because they're going to be lined up at 2 o'clock, all that can, either you can either, what we usually do, Linda and I, because Linda's going to be down there setting everything up at that end, is what we can do is we can either, and this is either or, we can... Maybe even if you don't bring your lunch, what I'd like to think is we had something close by, we could go buy a bunch of pizza and bring it out here, and everybody's working out here and don't have to go anywhere. They can eat the pizza. So maybe, just maybe, we can figure. We need a Little Caesars out here. That's what we really need: pizza. But or bring your lunch, or we always go to Very Quick and get something. But. Or I'll send Linda over to Very Quick because everything's going so fast. That 2 hours, we're going to be out of here by 12 o'clock. And so between 12 and 2, that 2 hours goes by so fast.
He won't fix it tomorrow day, but I won't do
Well, I mean, I could talk to him about that. Well, I could just, yeah, because I'm not sure what time Little Caesars opens, but I might could get Linda to just go to Little Caesars and pick up pick up, I don't know how many pieces we would need, but we'd pick up some pieces and bring them and stick them out there so everybody, I'll let you know. If we're going to bring pizzas, I'll send out a text or something saying we got pizza, you know, but something so we can just keep on working. And it's not so we can work everybody to death, it's so we don't work to death. We don't want to work anybody. We want to have fun. This is fun. Fun. He was the redneck Santa.
I got on a truck. I was at the back of the parade, very fast.